Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. I'm so glad you came back to listen a little bit about manly stuff. Nothing wrong with being man. I don't care what the feminists say. My name is Clint Locklear. I'm a redneck from Tennessee, and I want to talk today about being your own hero. Before I get into that, though, I want to talk about a couple other real small, quick things. I was listening to a podcast, I think it was called The Real Bodybuilding Podcast, and there was a guy on there that's known, I can't remember his name, but he's known as one of the strongest bodybuilders. And I'm listening to him, and he seems like he's, you know, he's got his head on straight, and he's not full of crap, and he does really well. Then he came to this one little bitty point that was one of those aha moments for me. Now, I've got a home gym. I think most of y'all know that. I've got a good squat rack. I've got, reverse hyper. I've got benches. I've got dumbbells. I've got punching bags. I've got belt squats. And I keep adding to it when I save a little bit of green, I may get something else. I'm actually looking at a hack squat right now. So I'm looking to always upgrade. And, you know, part of lifting weights, regardless of how you do this, you get no stronger, no bigger, and no better unless you do something a little bit better than you did last time or last week or last month. It's pretty simple. If you only bench 225, you're only ever going to bench 225. You may be able to, because if that's all you bench, that's all you bench, right? You can slow down the reps. You can do more reps. You can do pause sets. You can do all this type stuff. But there has to be some form of stimulus that justifies putting in the work to become bigger, stronger, and more nimble. And linear progression is a simple way to do that. You add weight. You get stronger. Every time you add weight, your body's got to adjust to that. It brings in more muscle fiber. It's going to get bigger. It's going to get stronger, depending on your diet. And there you go. So, you know, I've got 2.5-pound weights that came with a set, and 5-pound weights, 10, 25, 35, and a bunch of 45s. This bodybuilder said something that blew my mind, and it's one of these things in life. I promise you, you've probably had this happen to you too, is you hear it and you go, well, shit, how come I didn't think of that first? Or how come it's taken me so long for this to settle in? What this guy does on a lot of his lifts is he carries around eight ounce little bitty plates. 8 ounces. That's a half a pound. You put one on each side, that's a pound. So if he's benching 300, next week he benches 301 pounds. Week after that, 302, 303, 304. You kind of get the picture. After you go to four of these little plates on each side, you put a 5 pound on, that's still just one more pound of weight, and you're rocking and rolling. He does this on curls, he does this on squats, he does this on rack pulls and deadlifts, he does this on tricep exercises. He does it pretty much on everything, and he continually gets stronger 1 pound at a time. Now, 1 pound is not sexy. That is not sexy in today's world, because you get on Instagram, and you got guys benching 700 in lifting gear, 1,000. 800, 500 for reps and stuff like that. So if you want to get strong and you're looking at all this stuff on social media, if you're going from 300 to 301, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But I beg to differ. And I want you to think about how easy it is to get strong. Let's say you're benching to 300. Next week it's 301. 52 weeks in a year. So let's say you take off 2 weeks, go on vacation. That's 50 pounds. So you went from 300 pound bench to 350 pound bench without having to kill yourself and risk a lot of energy. Not energy, injury. The next year, you just keep adding that 1 pound out of whack. You could be at a 400 pound bench by adding these little 8 ounce plates. Two at a time equals a pound. So, I have a friend, Chip Davis. He's got Expand the Pans, and I call him up and I tell him this crazy idea, which I thought he was going to go, well, that's the silliest thing I ever heard. He doesn't lift weights. I'm trying my best to get him to get in shape, but I ain't got there yet. But he understood exactly what this was immediately. So he goes out on his plasma cutter. He does all his math and knows how much the metal weighs per inch. And sure enough, he sends me, he did even better. He sent me exactly 8 ounce plates. And he sent me exactly 4 ounce plates. So let's say you're at the bench in 370, in 371, you're just not sure you're going to make 372. Well, you can put on a 0.5 pound at a time. It's still stimulus. You're still going to have to adapt to it. You're still going to grow. You're still going to get stronger. And it's at a pace where your tendons and ligaments, as you get older, can keep up with it. It's pretty cool. The little 4 ounce plates make a bigger difference when you're doing stuff that you don't have so much power. Curls, tricep extensions, close bench, different things that you're doing with one or two arms at a time. You know, 5 pound jumps can be a big difference on doing different things. Your form gets out of whack and all that. So, I don't know if he's going to have these for sale, but I would say if you were to call him up and go, dude, I would really like a set of these. I don't know what he's going to sell them for. It's probably going to be extremely reasonable, but I would definitely check it out. The other thing I got that I'm excited about, that I am sore from today, which is embarrassing to me, because yesterday I deadlift a little over 500 pounds. That's pretty good for being 52. It's by no means super high, because there's girls that weigh 130 pounds that are professionals that are deadlifting what I'm deadlifting. So it's not a bragging thing, because girls are still kicking my ass. But I'm walking with my wife. We walk pretty much every day unless it's just raining. And where we live, nothing is flat. So it's up a hill, down a hill, up a hill, down a hill. It's like it's been perfectly made to kick your butt when you go walking. But the only flat spot we have is maybe 20 feet at the bottom of these hills. That's it. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. And some of them are 40 feet tall. Then you break off the other side. Well, because of all the stuff that I do, I'm noticing that the walking is becoming... it's still super healthy. It's good for insulin sensitivity. It's good for all the healthy things of walking. But it's just not really anything anymore. Going up the hills, I don't even slow down. Don't think about it. But my wife is having a hard time keeping up because she doesn't do the weightlifting the way that I'm doing. So she's not stronger. And there's a lot of gravity going on. So I'm like... okay, well, I'm going to find something that will make me just as equal miserable as her going up these hills. So I ordered a weight vest from Titan Fitness. Never seen one. I've never wore one. I ordered one because I'm a guy and I'm just assuming that I can do anything. And I ordered one that's adjustable up to 60 pounds. Yeah, it's going to be a while before I'm wearing that one. So I take all these little weights off. I'm looking at them here behind on the shelf. It looks like I got little gold-looking bars that are black, kind of like, you think that it's in Fort Knox or something, kind of piled up. I broke it down to 25 pounds on the vest. Today's the first day. I got it yesterday, the first day that I wore it. My wife didn't know it. I go put it on. She's thinking it's a bad idea. Me being a guy, more's always better. So we go walking. 25 pounds. I could not believe the difference 25 pounds made. And it's a vest. So it sits on my shoulders. I got plates in the front and I got plates in the back. So it's not like it's pulling me one way or the other. It's just 25 pounds. I could feel it in my legs. I could feel it in my core. I could definitely feel it on my traps just because I'm not used to wearing that. And we're walking and talking, and I'm like, I cannot believe that this is kind of messing with me this way. Because when I was in the military, when we were in combat situations, our LCE, which was what you carried your ammo on, is like a suspender thing. I think they're moving more towards chest rigs now, but that was, my time was way before that. So you had, you know, your ammo and your water and your chemical mask and, you know, other little pouches you need for certain things. You had a butt pack that you would put, you know, like your poncho and stuff in. And when you're going into real missions, that averaged somewhere between 40 and 60 pounds. In 25 pounds, I could tell a huge difference. And I'm deadlifting over 500. So I'll be curious to see how I can keep adding weight to this and get up to maybe the 60 pounds on these walks going straight up and down these hills. See how that happens. But the main reason I'm bringing this up, when I went from 341 pounds to where I'm at now, about 370, 375, you don't realize, guys, how much weight that is. I cannot imagine putting on the full 60 pounds and walking for 30 minutes. It would be a gut check for me to be able to pull that off. But I used to walk around with that much weight and go hunting, fishing, trapping, working, you know, making lures, playing with grandkids, nieces, nephews, stuff like that, with that much extra weight on. So if you do need to lose some weight, I recommend you think about the difference you're going to feel like if you can lose 20, 40, 60, 80 pounds. Because I know a lot of you that listen to this could lose that and it'd be a lot healthier. So if you've got a 5-gallon bucket of water, it's 5 gallons, 8 pounds, it's 40 pounds. Plug the bucket, maybe 42 or 43. Fill a 5-gallon bucket up with water. Put it in a backpack. Get on the ground like you're making a coyote set. Or keep that on while you skin a deer. Or just keep it on for 3 or 4 hours while you're doing your honeydew list. And you're going to see it's going to kick your butt. When you take it off, you're going to feel like you can float. But if you're weighing 280, 300, 320, whatever it is, and your frame is not built for that, you're carrying that weight around with you every single day. And you're doing everything you do with all that extra weight. Because I've got a good friend, Jeff Dunlap. He's lost I think he's lost more weight than I have. And Jeff one day called me up and he was like, I just realized these 2 bucket of lures that I'm carrying, which is heavier than water, and I'm carrying it through the shop, how heavy that feels. Because you're talking, he's carrying about 100 pounds. I used to carry that every single day and wonder why I was so tired, why my back always hurt. And it made me really think what the difference it makes to lose some weight. And I'm going to paraphrase that because we've talked about this before. don't lose weight to lose weight, lose fat. Don't worry about losing weight, lose fat. If you're really overweight, you've got plenty of fat to lose. Now, I'm not worrying about you having a six pack and all that type of stuff, but just get it under control. Your life will be so much more enjoyable. And it made me think about the vest with all the craziness that's going on in the world. If I ever did have to ruck up again or put my chest rig on, my 308s, even all the stuff I've done, I've got a long way to go before I'd even feel comfortable in a situation where I had to carry weight on my body. How about you? Now, our sponsor this week is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. It's a great company. I found out during Trapping Radio last week that they're already helping out Camp Valor Outdoors out of Missouri, helping some vets get out and do some things and kind of get their mind in a more mission-oriented into the future type thing. So that was really cool to hear that on that podcast, because I didn't know that, even though I was doing a podcast with Camp Valor. He was just down here, such an awesome dude. I mean, he really is. Wife is awesome. He took back a bunch of product for me. They've already been shipping it out. It's hard to meet people like Alan in today's world. And his business is ran just the way Alan would want it to be ran if he was doing business with himself. So if you're looking for trapping supplies, predator calling supplies, hunting supplies, fishing supplies, copper type trap tags, he is your man. Now, how can you be a hero? I've heard this thing from Joe Rogan. It was on one of those little short clips like you see on Instagram or YouTube or something. And he was talking about live your life like you're your own superhero. And when I first heard that, I was like, that's kind of a cheesy thing to say. And I heard it again sometime about a week and a half ago. And I started really thinking about that. And I went, that's not as cheesy as I thought it was. Because if you think about you, if you were going to have cameras following you, or you were going to have a story written about you in a book, or an actor was going to portray how you acted on an everyday basis, and you knew this, would you do the same exact things you do today? For example, let's say that you're struggling with money. And the movie's about you getting your act together and your finances together and becoming a very comfortable person with money. That's the movie for you. Would you buy the same things that you buy today if you knew people were going to be on a screen judging you for that? I bet not. Would you stay at the same job that you hate just because it's easy? Probably not, because what kind of hero just is miserable? No, a hero is going to take action. He's going to jump out there and take some chances, and he's going to do some things the way men ought to think. He's probably going to start saving money. He'll come up with a plan. That way, in the movie, they can show his bank accounts growing. He's not going to buy this frivolous stuff. He's probably going to find a revenue stream of some kind, because all heroes in this would do that. And finding revenue streams are not that hard. Now, I'm going to see. I just thought about this, so I don't know if I'll be able to pull this up. Let's see here. Maybe not. No, I must not have recorded it. Yes, here it is. this is a side hustle that someone saw a need for that makes a superhero in his own story. Whoa. Bluetooth on. Hold up a second. Super unprofessional.
It's a huge beach, Jones Beach, and it was a hot summer, sunny day, and everyone's bitching and moaning because they have to walk about a half a mile to the concession stand. And all my friends, I'm like, I wonder what would happen if I went down here with like some Italian ices and chipwiches and fudgicles, right? Seems like a good idea. I'll sell them for $1 apiece, yeah? And I load up a cooler with a barrel of Italian ices and chipwiches and fudgicles, Milky Way Snickers, right? The whole thing loaded up was $22, including the cooler. The cooler was $7, the ice cream was $15, right? And I start yelling, Italian ices, chipwiches, fudgicles, milk. Within 1 hour, I sold out the entire cooler for $125. And I made $100 in 1 hour. And the year was 1978. Back then, minimum wage, I think, was $1.20 an hour. I was made more than my parents that day. I went back with 4 coolers. Right, who wouldn't, right? I got 4 coolers, right? So I blowed them up, went down, sold all those out. Made $400 or $500 my second day. Changed my life.
See, to me, that is a freaking hero taking care of his finances. That is a hero. I can tell you that my mom, because my stepdad was not a very good person, did not really take care of us financially. She always found ways to make money. One of her ways was dressing up in a clown suit in southern Alabama in the summer. Let that sink in. 100 degrees. We didn't have a car with air conditioner. And she would go buy ice and little cups. And she would figure out where she could get some slushy concentrate and add that with water. And she rode around to daycares and parks and on street corners. And she made a pile of money. And most people today go, there's just no way to make money without a job. Bullshit. The hero of your story, if you're going to take this challenge, is going to figure out something just like that. Where I live on the lake here, I could do exactly what that gentleman does. Where there's a place that's called Sand Island. On a lot of weekends, there's 200 to 300 boats. They all line up just like the country music stuff. They tie off, it's shallow, they swim, they play music. Go out there with drinks and ice cream, especially handmade ice cream. I could probably turn $200 or $300 a day pretty easy in the summer. Might just do it. There's money everywhere, and the hero of your story is going to start looking around and figuring that out. So if you're having financial trouble, think about it in terms of you're writing your own movie script and what you've got to do to come out the hero instead of just the guy that can barely make it. Let's take it another. What if maybe you don't have the best marriage? And there's going to be a movie written about you, how you turn that marriage around. And the camera's going to be on 24 hours. Would you say the same stuff to your wife that you would if you knew it was going to be on film? Probably not. You would probably go out of your way to do things to surprise her and let her know how much you cared for her. Because that's what the hero does in these movies, doesn't he? He screws up a lot of times, but he makes home runs too. You're going to figure out maybe if I just hug her once a day, that might just make a huge difference. Maybe I don't fight to the death on stupid shit that doesn't matter. What can you do in your movie to be the hero husband that everybody's going to be so proud of? That really changes how you look at marriage if you look at this in a challenge that way. Write your own script. What if you need to get in shape? And the cameras are on. Are you going to sit there and watch 5 hours of Netflix and eat junk food and drink Cokes all day? That's a shitty hero. No, you're probably going to start walking. You're probably going to start running. You're going to figure out where to go swimming in a pool. You're going to probably start lifting weights, riding a bicycle, whatever it is. And you're going to continuously improve on that. That's how heroes are made in those movies. If you need to get in shape, figure out how to write your own script, how to put that into action, and how to go out and make it happen. If you need to lose weight, what will the hero in your movie do? Eat hamburgers and pizza 3 times a day? Or maybe figure out how to have it eat clean? Is he going to watch TV and play games all night? Or is he going to figure out a way to build a home gym or do body weight exercises in the garage or something? Let your mind play with that. What would a hero do that needed to get in shape? A good example is Goggins. Mimic yourself after Goggins if you want to. Look him up if you don't know who he is. Started as a fat ass, just like me. Ended up not. That can be you. He wrote his own script, and he made it happen. You can use this in all kind of things in life. You want to be the best hunter, fisher, trapperman? What would the hero in your movie that you're the star of, with everybody watching, how would he go set coyote traps tomorrow? Would it be lackadaisical? Would it be he get up at 10 instead of daylight or earlier? Would he only run traps till 10 in the morning till he got a little bit of tired and then he starts finding ways to piddle around? Would he be complaining just because it's raining, snowing, cold, wet, or hot? No, the hero is going to do whatever it takes to be the hero of that script. You want to be the best deer hunter? Look at your own hunting in the way of writing your own script. Then follow the script you give yourself. Screw what everybody else thinks. Sure, most people are not going to look at the world this way, and most people have mediocrity lives because of it. You want to be the best fisherman? You're going to watch Netflix or you're going to go fish? You're going to learn how to make your own baits and lures if you can't afford them at the bait store. You're going to learn how to catch your own bait. You're going to learn the seasons of the fish. You're going to be out there whether it's spring, summer, winter, or fall. What would your hero do to go from an average fisherman to the man on the lake? We all have these choices every day. We really do. I've applied this already to my physical fitness. It seems really corny. You don't have to tell anybody. You're the first person I've told this to. I've got extra sets I'd have never got. I use more weight than I'd ever pushed. I'm looking forward to it where sometimes I'm just not. Why? I'm trying to write my own script. Hero to who? Nobody. What I do in my gym and what I do for my fitness is for me. But I do know that I can't sit and watch TV all day and think I'm going to be fit. I don't think that if I sit around and eat junk food all the time that I'm not going to be fat again. What would the hero of me do? And I look at it that way, as corny as it is. And when I look back, when I first got into trapping professionally, and that's a hard road to go down, I did look at it that way. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was always, what would the professional trapper do today? What would the guy that's doing more than anybody else do today? And that's what I went to accomplish. And after week, month after month, and year after year, those habits just became my normal. And it's taken me to places and trapping that I never thought that it would. But I do remember looking back. For the people that I looked up at, if they were to call me at this moment and ask me what I was doing, would I be embarrassed or ashamed, or would I be proud about what I'm doing? This applies to your money, to your marriage, to your kids, to your hobbies, to anything that you can do. Be that hero that you can be for yourself. Nothing is stopping you but you. Nothing is stopping you but a lack, most of the time, of any kind. What's the right word I'm looking for here? Discipline. Discipline actually, as Jocko says, brings freedom. People don't look at it that way in the beginning, but they do towards the end. Because that discipline keeps you on script. When you don't want to, you're tired, you're beat up, you're hungry, you want to feel lazy, the weather's not good, all that type of stuff. But you stick to your script. You've got to write it. Don't ask somebody else what they need to write. You need to write it. And watch where it takes you. Because wherever that is, it's going to be in a much better direction and much farther than just bouncing around this world, living paycheck to paycheck, and just not thinking about what's going on and being a normal American. That doesn't have to be you. I don't want it to be you. I want you to be the hero of your own script. Give it a try, put it in practice, and I'll talk to y'all next week.